Sometimes we daydream about receiving a financial windfall. Wouldn't it be great? We could pay off our debts and pursue our dreams without restraint. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll provides a biblical lesson that will temper our preoccupation with prosperity. His application is drawn from the practical pages of Proverbs. The writer offers pearls of wisdom like this one. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears. Chuck titled today's message, Timeless Principles of Money Management.
Now today I want to draw from the Proverbs six principles that are timeless. Here's the first. Those who honor God with their money are blessed by Him in return. Those who honor God with their money are blessed by Him in return. You can count on that. Here's the second principle. Those who make money their passion lose more than they gain. Those who make money their passion lose more than they gain. When you make money your passion, then you're guilty of being greedy. You are loving money. And it's the love of money that roots all evil, according to what Paul wrote to Timothy. Now, let me show you some things out of Proverbs to make you understand why I would give you that principle. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Turn there, please. Notice the reference to greed. This is the one who is passionate about making more and more. Greed brings grief to the whole family, but those who hate bribes will live. Look at the 23 it is. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Here again is the one passionate about money. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. I like that statement. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears. It will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Here's a third principle worth remembering. Wisdom gives wealth. Needed guidance. Wisdom gives wealth needed guidance. Wisdom comes from prayer. As you seek the Lord for His guidance, wisdom speaks to us in Proverbs chapter 8. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. All of this is beautiful writing that says in the dailiness of life, listen to wisdom. What is she teaching us? Verse 10, choose my instruction, she says, rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Here's the fourth principle. Increased riches bring increased complications. This principle, by the way, helps dispel the very, very popular rumors. One goes like this. If I had unlimited wealth, I could do whatever I want and wherever I wish and whenever I like. Without any distractions or cares in this world, I just need more money. Oh, please, that's not so. You're near chapter 18, look at verse 11. The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. Oh, no, haughtiness goes before destruction, humility precedes honor. You know what I see in verse 11? A false sense of security. A false sense of security. Increased riches will give you that. What makes you feel secure? I got a loaded bank account. Man, my portfolio is really impressive. Compared to what my folks made, you should see my income. Haughtiness. And with haughtiness comes insulting others. Sound familiar? When you've got wealth, you insult other people. You belittle them if your wealth is misplaced and has become your God. Become unaccountable. In fact, another false message that money gives is, I don't really need others. See verse 23? The poor plead for mercy, the rich answer with insults. You do need others. The longer you live, the more you will realize the value of others. Why? Well, first of all, they don't believe your stuff, those close to you. They won't let you get lost in your own clippings. They will hold you accountable. They will point out blind spots, which we all have. You see, when you're really wealthy, you begin to cultivate a lack of self-awareness. And you're a fool, you're a jerk, but you don't know it. It's in fact embarrassing to see it. Look at 28:11. 28 verse 11. This is one more before we go to the fifth principle. Rich people may think they are wise, but a poor person with discernment can see right through them. Isn't that amazing about our folks? I can't speak for yours. I can say for my folks and certainly my grandparents. They could see right through people. Remarkable. How do they know? How could they do it? I got a granddaddy who was born on a covered wagon coming to the state of Texas. That's how long ago he lived. I got a dad who was born in 1892, now dead. What wisdom they had just from living back when every turn of the soil was a labor and every crop grown was a point of gratitude. But when I'm lacking in self-awareness, I don't see those things. One more, I said it was the last, but I've got to show you 29 verse 3. The man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but if he hangs around with prostitutes, his wealth is wasted. You see, wealth will often create great temptations. Why do you think so many professional ball players have many other sex partners on the side? Wealth. They can afford it. The temptations are many. And they start believing that these people, other people, not just the prostitutes and those they're running with, but other people that show up are their friends. Are you kidding? Win the lottery, you won't believe how many friends you've got. They come out of the woodwork. It's like owning a pickup. I mean, friends are everywhere. Let me give you a fifth principle. Money cannot buy life's most valuable possessions. Money cannot buy life's most valuable possessions. Proverbs 15:17. Thank you for turning from one to another. I love this one in the New Living Translation. A bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Haven't you eaten? Don't answer out loud. Haven't you eaten with people you don't like? Oh, man. It may be a five-course meal, which only makes it worse. How long do I have to sit here? Oh, brother. But when you're around somebody you love, it doesn't matter. Leftovers would be fine. Even if they're cold leftovers. The other evening, Cynthia and I put together a real scary meal. It was, as I remember, refried beans and tacos from, I don't know, 2 weeks ago? It wasn't 2 weeks ago. It was a couple days ago, and boy, it was scary on the plate. You know what? It didn't matter, because I was with somebody I adore. And the meal just filled my stomach. By the way, isn't refried beans a mystery? I mean, if they weren't good when they were fried, why do you want to refry and make them mushy and all? But we eat them nevertheless. Let's put that in here. A bowl of refried beans is someone you love is better than steak with somebody you can't stand. No extra charge for that translation. The verse before, look at verse 16. Better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. Isn't it true? One more, and I'll give you another list that you won't forget. 22:1. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. You cannot buy the respect of your grandkids. You cannot buy the respect of your neighbors. You earn it. You earn it every day. You earn it in acts, random acts of generosity and love. The most valuable treasures in life are without price. They are not for sale. You can't buy them. They have no barcode, but we live for them. Here's a list. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Money will buy books, but not brains. Money will buy food, but not an appetite. Money will buy finery, but not beauty. Money will buy a house, but not a home. Money will buy medicine, but not health. Money will buy luxuries, but not culture. Amusement, but not joy. Money will buy a crucifix, but not a savior. Money will buy church buildings, but not heaven. See what I mean? These are invaluable possessions above and beyond the coin of the realm. One more principle and we'll wrap it up. Number 6, if handled wisely, money can bring great encouragement, if not great stress. If handled wisely, money can bring great encouragement, if not great stress. Let me camp on the first one, great encouragement. You're in 22. Look at 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. 22:9. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. 28:25. Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Pause for a moment and think. Just listen. Think of those and think of ministries that have benefited from the giving of God's people. Missionaries are still on the field because people with money give to keep them there. Mission organizations are able to provide equipment they need, whether it's for translating the work or carrying on some technical part of their ministry. Money buys that. Orphans are housed by the money of faithful, generous givers. Those caught in human trafficking are rescued by those who will never meet them because they funded the rescue operation. Money given by those who care about the sick by hospitals, seminaries, provides seminary students with the ability to stay in school. Let me tell you my story. I enrolled at Dallas Seminary in the fall of 1959, paid my tuition, barely able to do that, as Cynthia found a job and I gave myself as a full-time student. By the second semester, we weren't sure where we'd get the money for this tuition, only to receive a letter from home from a man who asked that his name never, ever be mentioned publicly. He paid my tuition that second semester and every other semester till I graduated in the spring of 1963. He, in his generosity, sent his gift that my tuition might be paid. I was so thrilled, and I learned halfway through my education, he did that for 17 seminary students at the same time. That is generosity. That is a vision for using money. Why would he want to stack it up in a bank account that was already packed and loaded? Why not have the joy of giving it? Money pays off debts in churches, buys buildings, furniture, playground equipment. The things you look around and see, they didn't just happen. People gave sacrificially that we might have a pipe organ, that we might have some of the fine things that enhance our worship. But you know what is amazing about our church? Less than 20% of you give regularly. Over 80% of you do not give to this ministry. And for the life of me, I do not know why. It certainly isn't that we're not handling the money well. It certainly isn't that there is a lack of integrity behind the scenes. It's that you're not generous. It's that you haven't taken the same challenge my sister took. And I mention her only because she's the one I know. I don't know anybody who gives and doesn't give, so this isn't targeted to one or two or three of you. This is to all of you who don't give. Give. Learn the pleasure of releasing. Learn it when you don't have much, lest you think that if you had more, you'd give more. You wouldn't. You still wouldn't give. Generosity doesn't come from the accumulation of wealth. It comes from an attitude about wealth. Your grandchildren will know much more about your spirituality if they could see your checkbook rather than your Bible. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. So I urge you, for your benefit, to know the pleasure of generous giving. We've seen examples of that already, but maybe a couple more will help. 13:22, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. You're not taking it with you, pal. Just like when you came naked, born naked, you'll die naked. Job put it right. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'll return. The Lord gave. The Lord took away. Blessed be his name. It's Job's way of saying, I never had my heart set on any of it anyway. I didn't need the big ranch. I didn't need all the cattle. I didn't need all those servants, but God allowed me to have them through the produce that came from bumper crops. And I'm grateful, but when I'm gone, I'm gone. None of that goes with me. Now, I close with Proverbs, and you're glad I'm closing. I know. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Go back. 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best of part of everything you produce. Don't stop with your money. Use your time. A number of you, most of you, do not serve in this church. And there are opportunities with children, with youth, with adults, home fellowships. There are opportunities to minister in song, to do organizational work behind the scenes. We announce those opportunities. And very few of you are participating in it. We want you all to be involved in it. Why else would you be a member without participating? It's like my being called to ministry and I don't preach. I must preach. You must serve. You give God the best of what you produce. Now, the ultimate question you have to ask, and only you can ask it, am I walking in obedience to God in my giving? Am I giving as I should for His greater glory? That's for you to answer. You don't get closer to heaven by giving. This is not some kind of ethereal promise that you will be given long life, but I will tell you the blessings that will come your way are too numerous to mention. Not the least of which is a clear conscience, knowing that you're walking in obedience. We sing, in my life, Lord, be glorified. In my home, Lord, be glorified. In my church, Lord, be glorified. How about in my wealth, Lord? In my money, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified today. Bow with me, will you? Show us, our Father, the pertinent truth of what we have seen in principles, in exhortation, in specific challenges that have been expressed in this message. Be glorified, Lord. Use us as a church known not just for great music, not just for strong Bible study, not just for integrity, but may we be known for generosity. May we be a model of that. In our wealth, Lord, be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.
And with Chuck Swindoll's prayer, we conclude a 3-day study called Timeless Principles of Money Management. This is Insight for Living. Keep listening because Chuck has prepared an update for our listening family and we'll hear his comments in just a moment. Well, it was July 1979 when Insight for Living was first aired on radio and 1984 in Canada. Technology has changed since then and other facets of our culture have changed as well. But when it comes to the human condition, nothing has changed at all. For that reason and more, we remain fully committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ. And we're relying on friends like you to join us. Your regular giving is needed because people around the world are longing for biblical encouragement. For instance, someone from Tennessee left a message on our website that said, "Chuck, I've been a faithful listener since 1998, but recently I experienced a painful separation from my husband. It was your teaching on forgiveness, love, peace, and hope that brought so much light to the darkness. Your teaching gave me courage to heal during one of the worst storms of my life. And now I'm free from resentment toward my spouse. No more chains holding me down." These sacred moments when the Bible intersects with life are made possible in part by people like you. You see, when you support Insight for Living, you're allowing us to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Here's Chuck.
Since our beginning back in 1979, we've always relied on the Lord's leading to support the work of this ministry. We have no grant. We have no denominational background that we can fall back on, no rich group of people that we can call on, though there are some who give sizable gifts. Many support us with smaller gifts, regular gifts. And often, some wait until the very end of our fiscal year, and then they give their gift at that time. That may be your style. And there may be some of you who have benefited from our ministry for some time, but you've never sent in a gift. Thanks to each one of you for your participation in what will become for us the end of our fiscal year as we complete these 45 years of serving Christ all around the world. Remember, without your part, we couldn't have done it, and we can't continue. But we believe you will have a part in this, and as a result, we will press on in season and out of season. Just as Moses mentored Joshua and Elijah mentored Elisha and the Lord Jesus with his disciples and Paul with Timothy, I'd like to think of our ministry as being a part of mentoring you in your walk with Christ. And if it's helped you in your serving him, we give God all the praise and he gets all the glory. Thank you in advance for what you're able to provide. We will accept it by his grace in the name of Christ, who prompts you to give and leads us in the way we handle what has been given for the work of the ministry. Thank you.
And as you're prepared to join with us in mentoring others or making disciples of all nations, we invite you to give generously. Here's how to respond. If you prefer to send a personal check in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. If it's easier, call us at 800-772-8888. That's 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll talks about the charming joy of grace giving, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Timeless Principles of Money Management, was copyrighted in 2015, 2016, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.